The podcast you're about to listen to is adult in nature and is not safe for work. So unless you want to have a conversation that you probably want to work your way up to, please ask Alexa to stop playing this podcast. Put your earbuds in. Let's have a moment, just me and you, okay? And thanks for listening.
I am enormous, get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this week on the podcast, we have a story from writer, educator, and activist Race Bannon. How's your week going? Well, I will tell you the truth, mine has been a big old fucking downer. Life lately has been really hard, with friends dying, the anniversaries of friends dying, and some information that I'm going to share with you later on in the show that will affect your weekend, your pride weekend. I had a conversation this morning with Marty, my podcast producer, and something good came out of all this terribleness that we've been experiencing, all this depression, all of this grayness that's going on in the world. As I said, life's been hard. And then last night, before I went to bed, I got an email. And I'm going to share it with you because it really helped turn things around for me. And I think you could probably use a little bit of that too right now, right? Okay, here we go. Subject line of the email says, Ms. Dixie, I think it might be time for you to get naked. Hi, Dixie. I just saw your post on the Patreon page about potentially canceling this week's show. Well, fuck. I just blew what I was going to say later on by reading the first line. Yeah, guess what? That announcement later on is about canceling this weekend's body live stream. Oops. Should have read the email before I said that part, huh? Okay, let's start again. Hi, Dixie. Just saw your post on the Patreon page about potentially canceling this weekend's show. As a fellow displaced Southerner, my first thought was, well, bless her heart. So sorry you are going through this. Keep your head up. So maybe this one show didn't work out. Okay, sometimes shit happens. I know it's frustrating and it's humbling. Know that you aren't letting anyone down. It's a bump in the road. And sometimes the fates just conspire and things aren't meant to be. Remember all the magnificent work you've done. You're a successful show producer, a fabulous podcaster. Thank you. You figured out how to flip your business model while the world officially implodes. Not too shabby. Think of it this way. It took a full-on global pandemic and civil uprising to slow you down. That makes you one hell of a survivor, doesn't it? All with an unbridled honesty that makes us feel less alone. So take heart. Us storytellers are still out there. Maybe we're processing a little longer and writing a little slower. I'm a storyteller and I know I am. But the need for human connection is real, so we'll be back. And the community you've built will stand with you and will be there for future shows. The trick is to stay sane between now and then. Time for you to concentrate on some self-care. Walk your dog. Oh, that's a great idea. Work on your script. Am I working on a script? Netflix, chill, recharge. And maybe try the best cure I've found to stay safe while we're housebound. Naked dance party. Yep, that's right. Drop trowel, crank some tunes, and dance bare-ass naked around your apartment like no one's watching. It will work wonders. I'm a living witness that a fresh breeze on your hoo-ha while channeling Lizzo's dance moves will change your whole perspective. I have no idea what your musical taste is, but I took the liberty of getting you started. Click the link to go to Ms. Dixie's Naked Dance Party mix on Spotify. Hopefully you'll find something that will shake your shimmy. But I did want to include at least one song for the tough times. While I live in New York now, I'm from Arkansas and I'm about as Black and Southern and Baptist as they come. And there's just something about gospel music that still warms my heart. I'm with you. That's what the first track is. Not about a faith practice, but rather some wisdom from those that have fought the good fight before us. As the ancestors would say, I believe there's an anointing on your life, Ms. Dixie, and it's a mighty work that you do. Sometimes you just got to make time to be your own champion, to speak over yourself, and to encourage yourself. So I hope you get some rest. Speak over yourself. Know that you are beloved and supported. And we'll keep riding with you to see what the end will be. All my best, Rhea. There's a P.S. there about, I hope you and Kevin Allison from Risk do another combined show. Rhea, that's going to be happening. We're working on that right now. And then P.P.S. I ended on the song Wonderful World because it actually still is. So that turned things around for me. It really did. I hope it's okay that I share the hour and a half long dance party that Rhea sent me. Naked Dance Party. Because it's got Stevie Wonder and it's got gospel and it's got country. Dixie Chicks, of course. It's got a little bit of everything. The kind of things you want to shuck your clothes off and dance naked in your house. Well, I live across the street from a school, so that might be a problem if the windows are open and the curtains are open. But guess what? School's out. So I can dance naked if I feel like it. And that email, and knowing that she took the time to make a soundtrack for me to dance naked in my house to, made me feel so much better. Okay, let's keep going. Part two. This morning, I woke up to an email from a friend who sent me a link to an article on the Soho House website. And in celebration of Pride, multi-award-winning actor and member Billy Porter, we love Billy Porter, penned a letter to his 20-year-old self on life, love, and the prize of authenticity. It's called Dear Billy, A New Day is Coming. His words are moving. Read every one of them, y'all. And the graphics that they include in the article are too. One of them says, get up and do something with the life that has been given to you. And then later on in the article, it says, your authenticity is more important than any award, any job, any amount of money, and any acceptance from any individual or group. Guess what you started, Rhea? You started something that made me feel better, that I am now sharing on the podcast to make other people feel better. And when I met with Marty this morning, and we cried over the death of a young African-American man in Colorado near where Marty lives. And we're so frustrated and felt so hopeless. I shared these things with him. I shared Rhea's Naked Dance Party playlist that she'd made for me. I shared the Billy Porter article on Soho House. And he shared a link to a YouTube channel that when things get hard, he listens to them make music, and it makes him feel so happy. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to try and create something uplifting for you. One thing that I used to do is I used to do 10 things I'm grateful for, inspired by my friend Enormous. Enormous is a burlesque performer. He's incredible, and he used to inspire people with these posts. And I always looked forward to them. So I think it's time for me to do that for you and pass it on. One thing that we're going to start doing with our mailing list is we're going to include 5 things to be grateful for. I'm also going to link it in the show notes so you can see what I'm talking about. The show notes for this episode are going to include links like Billy Porter's article that you need to read, the incredible musician that Marty listens to on YouTube. And I would love it if you would send me things that make your life better too, so that we can keep passing it forward to listeners of the podcast, so that people have something to look forward to. I know that I love David Byrne's Reasons to be Cheerful. And I'd like to do something like that, that is composed of the things that you know that are cool. So if you subscribe to the email list, bodystorytelling.com/subscribe, we're going to be sending out 5 things to be grateful for. And I'd like to make that an ongoing thing with your help. I know that we need this right now. We all need something to keep us going through, because we're in the middle of it. And we won't know what it's like till the end, right? So let's keep going. Let's support each other. Let's uplift each other. I'll talk more about that soon. I'm so grateful to you for listening, for being part of this, for the amazing messages that I got on Patreon when I full-on lost my shit on Patreon the other day. By the way, if you'd ever like to see me sob, you want that, right? Then Patreon is where it happens. I'm not promoting Patreon with this. I'm telling you, if you want to watch me lose my shit, that's where I do it. I don't do it on social media. I do it with my family, and Patreon is my family and my super fans and my fiends, the people that I feel like I can be completely honest with, who want to know what's really going on. So that's what Rhea was responding to, a post where I sobbed my eyes out earlier this week. I consider you part of the family too. So thank you for listening. Please send me links to things that inspire you, uplift you, Dixie@bodystorytelling.com. Marty and I have this crazy, weird overlap where his focus is music and my focus is storytelling and inspiration. And the overlap between the two of us is we're fucking weirdos and we love weird oddities. So you'll be getting a little bit of both those things from us. Please help us. Send us what you have. We'd love to learn what excites you, what inspires you. Lube exists to make what feels good feel even better. And Uber Lube really does that. You know what else feels good? Getting to talk about a product and a company that you love. When that company sponsors you and likes what you do, you can feel even better about it. And that's why I'm excited to talk about Uber Lube. Their products are top notch. And I can talk about my own experience with Uber Lube. It's lube that makes you feel good. If you're going to add to those magic moments, you want to make sure it's done with high-quality, body-safe ingredients. And for that, nothing beats Uber Lube. Well, I can tell you many of the ways that's true. Why don't you just pick the one that's right for you? Uber Lube is a luxurious, high-grade silicone lubricant made from clean, body-friendly ingredients. It's just silicone with a little vitamin E. The vitamin E leaves a velvety finish that actually moisturizes your skin. It's great for all kinds of play. Vaginal, anal, oral. God, I love saying those words. People can also use it in their hair, for hair frizzies, for chub rub, under your breasts, between your thighs, and massage. We've been trying it for massage lately. It does feel great. And Uber Lube's for everyone. Thousands of doctors recommend Uber Lube as their go-to solution for patients experiencing dryness. Uber Lube's simple ingredient list makes it widely used by people with sensitivities to other lubricants. Uber Lube lets skin feel skin. Lube is supposed to enhance touch, not overpower it. And Uber Lube adds a thin layer that leads to just the right amount of slip while still allowing for skin-on-skin sensation. You're in control of how long it lasts. Uber Lube offers long-lasting performance when you want it, then it quickly dissipates without leaving a sticky residue. It feels like a nice moisturizer when you're finished. And many people often say, I never knew lube could feel this good. Users report loving it on their body and not feeling like they need to wash it off afterwards. There's no flavor or scent. And the thing that makes it body safe is it's free of nasty additives like parabens, preservatives, and petrochemicals. It's latex compatible, so it's safe and effective for use with condoms. It works underwater, making it great for fun. I was going to say sex, but fun in pools, lakes, and tubs. Doesn't stain clothing or bedding, and any spills can be easily cleaned with detergent and water. And right now, they're offering Body Storytelling listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use the code DIXIE at uberlube.com. 10% off and free shipping, y'all. Just use the code DIXIE at uberlube.com. Thank you so much to Uberlube for supporting the Body Storytelling Podcast. Uberlube lets you feel what you want to feel. Give it a try. It really is the best. I think it's high time for a story, don't you? And I am so proud to present this story to you. I'd be proud any single week that the podcast comes out, but I'm especially proud this week for Pride, which is all about inclusion and acceptance. And this man inspires me every single day. Kinky sex has always been one of Race Bannon's passions as a practitioner, organizer, writer, educator, commentator, activist, and leader since his first explorations of the leather world starting in 1973. Race's accomplishments include co-founder of the Kink Aware Professionals Referral Service, leader of the DSM project that began to change how psychotherapy professionals view kink, author of the best-selling Learning the Ropes, A Basic Guide to Safe and Fun BDSM Lovemaking, founder of Deadless Publishing Company, the first company dedicated to publishing nonfiction leather SM fetish books, prolific writer, former sex advice columnist, former producer and host of the first kink internet talk show, Bound to Talk, past board member of the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom, Community Academic Consortium for Research on Alternative Sexualities, NLA International and Avatar Club Los Angeles, co-founder of NLA Los Angeles, and member of Chicago's Hellfire Club, the 15 Association, and Society of Janus. Race is currently on the board of the Leather Hall of Fame. Recently, Race was inducted into the Society of Janus Hall of Fame. He is featured in the documentaries Vice and Consent, Out of the Darkness, The Reality of S&M, and Folsom Forever, was a BDSM consultant for the movie Exit to Eden, and is currently an executive producer for Divine Deviance, an upcoming documentary about the global kink BDSM fetish scene. And that looks so good. Race is also a popular speaker who has delivered the keynote address for a number of events. He has been awarded the 2006 National Leather Association International's Lifetime Achievement Award. Wow, that's a mouthful. 2010 Mr. Marcus Hernandez Lifetime Achievement Award. Pantheon of Leather Community Service Award, the 2011 Philip M. Turner Lifetime Achievement Award, the 2013 National Gay and Lesbian Task Force Creating Change Leather Leadership Award, 2014 San Francisco Bay Area Leather Alliance Co-Man of the Year, in a tie, and the 2016 NorCal Northwest Regional Pantheon of Leather Award. Wow, right? He's a fucking big deal. You can read some of Race's writings at Bannon.com. I'll include a link in the show notes. Or at RaceBannon.com. Or in the Bay Area Reporter, eBar.com, where he is the leather and kink columnist. Like I said, credentials like you wouldn't believe. Y'all, two final things. He wrote about body storytelling in the Bay Area Reporter a couple weeks ago, and it was our first public mention of the Butt Plug Club. Do you know how happy that makes me? I'm going to include a link to the article he wrote about us in the show notes. And also, Race has been planning his retirement from corporate life for a while now and has been meticulously putting together his plan for the life of a digital nomad, a traveler, and always a writer. COVID has altered his plans and he's regrouping. But just this week, he created his own Patreon to start creating his new writer's life. I'm going to link to it in the show notes, but he's got a brand new Patreon. Sent it to me the other day, and you know you want to make the world a better place by supporting him. Here it comes. I'm always blown away when he says yes when I ask him to get on my stage. This storyteller is Race Bannon.
Wow. Thank you. So it's 1975, and I'm 21. I am living in Chicago on the near north side, which is just north of downtown. And it's spring. And in Chicago, spring was when gay men came out of their winter hibernation to go in search of sex. So I, being the horny 21-year-old that I was, decided I was going to go out in search of sex. So I put on my jeans, I put on my boots, I put on my leather belt, I put on some sort of a grungy t-shirt because I thought that was butcher than a clean t-shirt for some reason, and my leather jacket, and out the door I go to my local leather bar. Now, lucky for me, my local leather bar was the Gold Coast, which, for those who may not know gay men's leather history, is one of the most famous and infamous leather bars that ever existed. So I walk the few blocks to the Gold Coast, and I walk in the bar, and when you walked into the Gold Coast, it was this big black box of a room, long rectangular. The walls were painted black on the bottom, but on the top were all these amazing murals by the very well-known erotic artist Etienne. And it was leathermen and naked men and men in uniforms fucking and sucking and beating each other and in dungeons, and they all had massive cocks and these amazing butts. So this was the atmosphere I walked into, with a room full of men. It was Saturday night, and it was spring, and they were horny, and you could smell the men. And I don't mean that in the bad, you know, ooh, kind of smell. I'm talking, ah, kind of smell. The good stuff. You could smell the sex in the air. You could feel the horniness. It was palpable. So I walk into the bar, and I go up to my favorite bartender, and I grab a bottle of beer, which was always a prop because I didn't drink. But it was butch. So I grab my bottle of beer, and I see my chunk of the wall where I can usually go over and cruise, and I go over and grab that chunk, and I do my standard cruise pose, which was the bottle of beer right here. I know, subtle, very subtle. So I'm standing there, and I am cruising, and I'm looking over here and saying, oh, well, that's the guy I fucked a few weeks ago. He's hot. Maybe I'll try him. And that's the guy I was at the baths with. No, I don't want to do him again. And I'm scanning, and then all of a sudden, across the bar, stares back at me one of the most beautiful men I've ever seen. And, you know, I'm 21 years old, and I'm cocky a little bit, but I'm not all that confident. And this guy is by far the best-looking guy in the room. So I go back to cruising. He can't possibly be looking at me, and I look around, and there's this guy looking at me again. Not only is he looking at me, but he's beginning to walk around the bar. And he walks around, and he comes up here, and he says, hi. And he really did have that kind of a voice. And I said, hi. And then we exchanged a few niceties, and I have no idea what I said. Much like when a deer sees headlights and you freeze, I'm pretty sure that's what I was doing at that moment. But at one point, he started to scan down my body, and he looked on my left side, and he saw my keys. Now, for those that don't know gay code, keys on the left is typically top or dominant in a kinky sense, and keys on the right is bottom or sub in a kinky sense. And he saw these keys, and he got this shit-eating grin on his face, and he looked me right in the eyes, and he began to slowly turn around. And he showed me this really, really beautiful, beautiful butt with hankies hanging out of his butt. Back right pocket. He had navy blue, he had red, and he had black, which meant he liked to get fucked, he liked to get fisted, and he was into BDSM, and all I could think of was score. So he then tells me his name is Ted, not Teddy. He was very clear to don't call him Teddy, he was Ted. And he was about this tall, and he was very, very muscular, much more muscular than you would imagine. Back then, in the 70s, if you had a swimmer's body with a little bit of muscle, you were buffed. That was a big thing. It wasn't like the big muscles we see today, but this guy was like that, and he had hair that was coming out of his chest, you know, his t- tank top, and he had black leather pants on, and he had a leather jacket on, and he had his hair buzzed, and this kind of Castro clone 70s look mustache with a 5 o'clock shadow, and he really looked like Hugh Jackman in leather. Yeah. He really did. So we exchange a few more niceties. I forget exactly what we said, but at some point he said, "Do you want to hook up?" And I said, "Sure." We didn't use the word hook up back then. He said, "Do you want to go back to your place?" I said, "Sure." He goes, "I'm staying at a hotel. I'm from out of town. So let's go back to your place, and I just have to go back to my hotel, and I'll meet you." Okay. So he goes off to the hotel, and I run back to my little studio apartment in boots, which is not easy to do. And I had just moved into this apartment. This would be the very first person in 2 months that I had brought back to my place. I used to always play in bathhouses and sex clubs and dungeons and the back rooms of bars, and that was the kind of player I was. I didn't bring people home very much, but I was going to let this guy come to my place. So I am quickly picking up. I live like a college student. I'm a pig. I really am. And I still am, kind of. So I'm picking this apartment up and trying to make it look like a gay man lives here. And I'm adjusting lights, and then I realize, oh shit, this is gonna be a scene, so I better grab some gear and some tools, and it's all sitting over here in a bag because I always play it out. I didn't play at home, so it was always in a bag. So I grab the bag and I put out my flogger. Now, this is the 70s, 1975. We didn't have the fancy floggers you guys have today. We made shit. So do you remember those tan suede fringe jackets? So I had cut off the fringe of one of the old tan suede jackets, and I had very carefully rolled it up and rubber banded the end, and that was my first flogger. You know. And then I grab some rope, and then I grab a red hanky and a blue hanky. I remember I used to use the red hanky as a blindfold and the blue hanky as a gag, and, you know, we had to make do with shit. And then I brought out my leather strap, which was an old belt I cut the buckle off of, and some clothespins, the ones that have the spring-loaded kind of stuff, and a few other things, and I was ready. And shortly thereafter, a knock is at the door, and there's Ted. So I go to the door, and I open, and there standing at my doorway is essentially Hugh Jackman in leather with the most beautiful blue eyes I'd ever seen. So I invite him in, and my first instinct is to take his jacket, and then I think, oh, fuck, no, I'm the Dom here. Do something. And so I said, take your jacket off and put it over there. You know, trying to be all confident and shit. And this guy was a good 40 years my senior. So I wasn't really all that confident at the moment, but I was going to make out like I was. So I then said, strip, take all your clothes off and put them over in there in a pile. And he did. And then I said, now what am I going to do? And so I said, kneel. And then he kneeled in front of me. And I reached over and I grabbed a thong off the table. And I slowly put it around his neck. And I used an overhand knot and very loosely tied it around his neck. And I said, for the rest of the night, as long as this is on you, I own you. You're mine. I don't know where that came from. I had never said that before. And he said, yes, sir. For anyone who doesn't have a dom bone in your body, trust me that yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, is the sweetest sound you will ever, ever hear. So I was rock hard. He was rock hard. We were off to the races. So I grab Ted, and I throw him on the bed, and I tie him in four-point bondage, and I fuck him, and I slap his ass, and I strap his ass, and I flog him, and I play with his ass some more. And then I untie him, and I have these two crappy foam chairs in my apartment. I pushed them together. I bent him over it. I spanked his ass. I strapped him some more, played with his ass, and then pretty soon my hand was going in his ass. And by the way, we didn't have the fancy lubes like you have now. I was using Albaline. No, that's what we used to fuck with. KY, Albaline, that's what we used. So I'm fisting him with Albaline, and at one point when my hand is just inside his ass, he looks back at me, and he said, sir, you're amazing. Right? Right? Fuck. Yeah. With my hand in his ass. And I'm like, okay. Yay. And I finish fisting him and I pull my hand out and I throw him on the bed. He's in sort of in 4-point on his hands and knees, and I start fucking him, and I'm fucking him, and I'm fucking him, and I'm fucking him. And then at one point, I say, you know, grab your dick, and I want you to shoot, but not until I tell you to. And I'm fucking him some more, I'm fucking him, and then I say, okay, I'm gonna come, you can shoot. And he sprays cum all over my bed. Yeah. And then I, seconds later, come in his ass. And then we kind of collapse on the bed, my cock still in his ass. And then at one point, it pulls out and I see my load dripping out of his hole and it's mixing in with his cum and we're rolling around in it. And we're making out for 20, 30 minutes like that. I'm in heaven. And then Ted says, you know, I gotta go. I have a thing, a work thing in the morning. That's why I'm here from out of town. I have to go back to my hotel. Okay, so Ted gets dressed and I walk him to the door and we have this long, passionate 5-10 minute, I don't know how long it went on, kiss. It was amazing. And then Ted leaves and I'm still kind of in shock. I had never really had that kind of a magic scene before. And I sit on the edge of my bed and I'm thinking, fuck, this stunning man, the hottest guy in the bar, wanted me and made me feel like the most confident dom in the world. I had never really felt like that before. And then it dawned on me that Ted and I did not exchange phone numbers. And I didn't know Ted's last name. And I didn't even know the hotel he was staying at. So I was probably never going to see Ted again. So, Ted, if you're still around anywhere, if by some miracle you're in this audience, or you listen to the podcast, or somebody has recorded this in video or audio and posted it somewhere and you see it, by some miracle you hear that I have told this story, I want you to know that those three words you uttered to me and how good you made me feel about myself and my dominant self are probably why I'm on this stage today. I would not be the Leatherman, the kinkster I am, had Ted not shown that bit of kindness and let a 21-year-old feel like he was the greatest dom in the world. Thank you.
Take me.
That song was For Your Entertainment by Adam Lambert. This week, when I talk about Patreon, I have two things to say to you. One is that we have new and improved rewards for you if you're a supporter of our Patreon. You can get free tickets to the live stream, and the live stream is really, really shaping up to be an incredible way for us to extend these stories to you wherever you are. You don't have to be in San Francisco. You don't have to be in Seattle. You can be anywhere. So free tickets to the live stream. And you get the live stream replay if you can't watch it live. And the live stream replay lives only on Patreon. The other thing I want to say to you is, if you're a supporter of our Patreon, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm just so grateful for your support. If you want to know more, go to patreon.com/body. And thanks in advance for all you do. I want to tell you about upcoming live stream shows for Body Storytelling. So you may have heard on the last podcast that we were anticipating that our next live stream was going to be happening on Saturday, June 27th, and it was going to be our Pride celebration. It fucking kills me to say it, but Pride, at least Body's version of Pride, is canceled for this year. I'm dealing with so many people who are just too depressed to inspire you, to tell you stories. The world is a dark place, and it takes a lot of work to pull together an evening of performance. And everyone I've asked is just having a hard time right now. And I had some performers cancel, and I had some performers have some drama, and it just fell apart. And that's part of why I was on Patreon, losing my shit earlier this week. And that's what the letter from Rhea was about. I just got on Patreon and said, I'm trying so hard to make something to cheer us all up. And I can't do it by myself. I have to have other performers. So the Saturday, June 27th show is canceled. There is no Pride live stream this year. But I am moving it to Friday, July 3rd, a week later, almost a week later. And that is going to be the Sexual Freedom live stream. It's 4th of July. We're probably all trapped in the house. So I'm not going to compete with a bunch of fireworks, although San Francisco has canceled their fireworks. We have plenty of fireworks, but apparently the city won't have the good ones. We'll just have the ones that are going off in my neighborhood from sundown to sunup. So we didn't want to compete with that. I want you to have something great to do on the 4th of July. But on Friday, July 3rd, starting at 7 p.m. Pacific, we are going to have our next live stream. A link to tickets is in the show notes. I hope you can be part of it. The live streams are so good. I'm so proud of what we're putting out. The stories are amazing. Everyone who attends writes me and says, I can't believe how great this show is. It's on Zoom. Who would think anything this good could be on Zoom? And it is. It's great. So tickets are in the show notes. I hope to see you on Friday, July 3rd, 7 p.m. Pacific. I'll see you on the live stream. We're at the end of the episode. This is my time once a week to connect with you. And I'm sad that it's at an end. I want to say thank you to the people who've made this podcast possible. I'm the person who's on stage, and I'm the person who created Body, but you wouldn't have a podcast, you wouldn't have a live stream, you wouldn't have any of these things without podcast producer and live stream technical director Marty Garcia. It's all Marty, y'all. I'm also grateful to David Grossoff, our sound engineer who's recorded our live shows in San Francisco, to Joe Moore, our video archivist who's been archiving our files for so long, at least 10 years, and he's the one who's making the live streams available as a replay to you on Patreon. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, David. Thank you, Marty. Thank you to you for listening. I'll tell you the truth. I got a bad review on Apple Podcasts this week, and it hit me really hard, on top of the floundering I was doing last week. Having somebody say some unkind things really brought me down. So, knowing that you listen to this podcast, knowing that you like it, knowing that you share it with your friends, maybe, all of those things give me hope and keep me going. I appreciate you. I know I spend this entire podcast telling you how grateful I am, but I really, really am. I'm grateful for you. Finally, I want to say I'm so thrilled to be part of Pleasure Podcast. It's a podcast collective of sex positive podcasts that come together and we work in unison to make the world a better place, a more open-minded, inclusive place. And I want to tell you about, okay, I might be biased, but I want to tell you about my favorite podcast in the Pleasure Podcast collective, and that is the American Sex Podcast. Sunny Megatron and Ken Melvoinberg are two of my favorite people. And I learn so much when I listen to their podcast. They do interviews. They always have really interesting guests. And just listening to the two of them feels like two of your best friends just hanging out. And I think you'll like it too. So here's a little taste of it. And thanks so much for listening. I'll see you next week. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour. This has been the Body Storytelling Podcast. And here's a peek at the American Sex Podcast.
I'm Sunny Megatron from American Sex Podcast. The Pleasure Podcast question of the month is, what is my number one sex tip for quarantine? My tip is don't freak out about how much sex you do or don't want right now. Stress directly affects libido. And right now, your sex drive might be at zero. Or you might be one of those types that responds to anxiety and fear with increased sex drive. It even has a name, the apocalyptic hornies. So rather being all consumed with, oh my goodness, is this normal? Just take a deep breath. It's normal. You're dealing the best you can, and things might be different for a while. That's perfectly okay. Sometimes just reassuring yourself of this is half the battle. If you want to hear more, check out American Sex Podcast at americansexpodcast.com.